Let us pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, who would not love thee, loving us so dearly? May my words and our thoughts be in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. There are many British voices in church today. Not quite enough to start a counter-revolution, but more than sufficient for me to be able to say Happy Christmas without someone being puzzled that I'm not saying Merry Christmas. And my venerable age and your politeness will allow me to reminisce over so many Christmas days in the Church of England, in England, when remarkably and wonderfully, people of the parish community, regardless of where they went, if they went during the year, all came together on Christmas Day. And invariably, the Christmas Day sermon was one that was spent inviting children to come forward to share their gifts, to talk about their presents, and then to have the joy of sharing with them the great gift, the great present of God incarnate in Jesus. So thank you all for being here. In E.M. Forster's Howards End, one character says, "Only connect the prose and the passion, and both will be exalted. Human love will be seen at its height. Live in fragments no longer, only connect." And the critic of Forster comments, "These two words, only connect, are perhaps Forster's most famous. The feast of the Nativity is about connection. Or in more authentic Anglican theology speak, reconnection. And what do we see? We see here today representatives from three congregations that devoutly and resolutely plough their own furrow for most of the year, but on Christmas Day, connect. Christmas miracle. And what do we see at tables throughout the land? Families, well, some families that with dogged and shrewd determination have kept apart for 364 days. On this day, after the stress of travel and buying and expectation, connect. God bless them. But we know, because we care, that for some this time of the year is when the promise only connect is fraught with tension and disappointment and just angst. As so many people in poverty and need are bombarded with images of happy families, with abundance of gifts and food and general Yuletide festivity. There are many, and we know them, for whom there is an enormous disconnect. And I carry in my heart today two couples who throughout this past year have desperately striven to have children. Imagine for them this season of disconnection. But of course, humankind cannot bear too much reality. And so poignancy becomes the material for comic writers and urbane wits. I read recently that the film Four Christmases was described by one reviewer, and I quote, "one of the most joyless Christmas movies ever made." And yet it grossed millions. It's as if people in the pathetic pain of that film were able to connect. By the way, one line in that film that was repeated often was, quote, "You can't spell families without lies." Ouch. Quentin Crisp, English actor, raconteur, comments, "Living on Famille provides the strongest motives for rudeness combined with the maximum opportunity for displaying it." Ouch. There's all this ephemera, this veneer of connection. And at heart we realize it isn't always taking place. And yet the joy of this festivity of incarnation is that God connects and will never, ever surrender. At that first Christmas, there was an abundance, a cornucopia of connection. There were wise men and shepherds, the ruler of the universe and a smelly stable, the intuitiveness of dreamers and the logic of expositors, beasts of the field and angelic beings, and above all, the very stuff of our humanity and the very essence of the divine. The prophet Isaiah sings with delight of the child born to us who ushers in a never-ending peace. And you and I know that peace, shalom, has all to do with connection. A peace that renews our connection with others, within ourselves, and with our God. The prophet Isaiah offers to us today the promise of emerging from darkness into light so that we are empowered, equipped, enabled to connect even with the phantoms of our past and the specters of our souls. Friends, you and I, in the words of Forster, yearn to live in fragments no longer. In fact, it's not very elegant, but we can call the whole work of salvation the work of defragmentation. The work of only connect. If pastoral, parish, personal experience teaches me anything, I believe in church today there must be some who have parts of their lives to which they would prefer not to go, not to connect. And yet to be whole, we must connect. But thank God we do not go to those places alone, for God is with us. One day, some years back, at morning prayer, midweek, in the church I served in Philadelphia, it wasn't a hugely, bigly attended service, but we were there. A young woman came into the church and sat in one of the front pews. It was quite apparent she had no idea what was going on. So I left the sanctuary and I approached her. She looked and she said to me, "I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, move over." I sat beside her and I led her through the glorious intricacies of our morning office. Then it struck me. So God does to us. He leaves the holy place. He leaves the sanctuary, he leaves the heavens above, and he comes to us, and we say in so many different ways, "I don't know what to do." And then we hear the joyful Christmas message, "Move over." And he comes and sits beside us, and he leads the way, and he leads the way to wholeness, to integration, to the bringing together of erstwhile and chronic warring factions deep within our psyche, all to connection. So, this Christmas, only connect. And if it seems to you an awful task, let this child of beauty, the Christ child, lead you. Only connect with the God who loves you. Amen.
Mm-hmm.